Amen. Come on, just take that word in. There is a fragrance of His presence in this house right now. Do you believe that? Do you sense it in your own spirit? You know, we've been talking about a sense of water, a scent of the water. But God doesn't want us to be just have a scent. He wants us to, as Ezekiel 47 shows us, to become immersed in it. So just right now, just continue from pour out the perfume. She has not stopped weeping. She has not stopped pouring out at my feet. Right now, just spend a moment now. Pour out at His feet. Just in your own words, in your own heart right now. The atmosphere is here. He's already here. Speak to the Father this morning. Speak to Jesus this morning. Jesus, we come. I pour out my feet. I pour out my oil at your feet. You're worthy of my oil. You're worthy of every praise. Forever I've reason to sing. Forever I've reason to sing. Forever I've reason to pour out my heart. Forever I've reason to pour out my heart. Forever we've reason to pour out our hearts. Forever there's reason to pour and pour it out. Come on, just begin to pour it out onto Him. Pour it out onto Him. Pour out your praise. Pour out your thankfulness. Pour out all that you are. Pour out all that you are. Surrender all you are to Him. See the jug that is in you and say, I surrender it to you. All that which is most intimate to you, give it to Him and pour it out before Him. That which is most precious to you, give it to Him. Pour it out before Him. Whatever it is, if it's your family this morning, pour it out before Him. If it's your job this morning, pour it out before Him. If it's your health this morning, pour it out before Him. If it's your sin this morning, pour it out before Him. Whatever it is, pour it out before Him this morning. He's here. He's sat. He's waiting before you. Just pour it out. Pour it out. Pour it out. Pour it out. He's willing to receive it. He's willing to touch it. He's willing to embrace it. For this is the God that we serve. This is the Jesus we worship. He's always willing. When the man with leprosy came and he says, Lord, if you are willing, I know you can touch me. And he says, I am willing. I am willing. When a heart is poured out, when the oil of your heart is poured out as a perfume before me, I'm willing. So surrender again this morning, the heart. I'm willing to pour it out and pour it out again. I'm willing to pour it out again. I'm willing to pour it out again. I'm willing to pour it out again. Come on, sing it out. I'm willing to pour it out again. I'm willing to pour it out again. I'm willing to pour it out again. This is my act of worship. This is my act of surrender. I'm willing to pour it out again. I'm willing to pour it out again. I'm willing to pour it out again. This is my act of worship. This is my act of praise. This is our act of worship. This is our act of praise. To pour it out, to pour it out again. Come on. Oh, to pour it out, to pour it out again. Come on, push past your own inhibitions. Some of you are holding back because you're not comfortable, because you're not sure what to do, because we haven't sang a song for a while. Come on, we're going to pour it out. His presence is here. His power is here. His authority is here. His forgiveness is here. His healing is here. His restoration power is here. So pour it out again. Oh, I'm willing to pour it out. To pour it out again. I'm willing to pour it out. To pour it out again. One more time. I'm willing to pour it out. To pour it out again. This is my act of worship. This is our act of praise. This is our act of worship. This is an act of praise. So we're willing to pour it out again. Oh, we're willing to pour it out again. Oh, we're willing to pour it out again. This is our act of worship. This is our act of praise. This is our act of worship. This is our act of praise. This is our act of worship. This is our act of praise. This is our act of worship. I'm falling down again. Thank you, Jesus. This is my act of worship. Act of praise. Numbers 24, 5 to 7 says this. How beautiful are your tents, Jacob, your dwelling places, Israel. Like valleys they spread out, like gardens beside a river, like aloes planted by the Lord, like cedars beside the waters. Water will flow from their buckets. Their seed will have abundant water. Your seed will have abundant water when you pour it out and you plant your tree by the river and you plant yourself by his presence and your heart becomes like a garden, like an aloe planted by the Lord, like a cedar planted by his river. Our seed, the seed of Christ, the word of God, will have buckets and buckets and buckets of water. As we pour it out again, the river runs back. The river runs free. What an amazing God. What an amazing God we have, we serve. Who wants full buckets? I know I do. Who wants plenty of water for their seed? Father, this is our commitment to you. To pour it out again and again and again as an act of praise. To show you our hearts are for you and you alone. That we put value in the measure that you pour out to us. I almost feel like I don't need to preach this morning. Because if you can get this right here, right now, then everything will be different. everything. This one transaction is what so many churches lack, is what so many individuals cannot see. We live from His presence. We don't live trying to get into His presence. When I open my eyes, I'm already in my bed. Providing it fall out, you know. But when I wake up, I'm already in my bed. I don't have to, I'm not outside my bedroom trying to get in to get into my bed. When we wake up, we are in His presence. We are seated in heavenly places. So from the moment we open our mouths and worship, we begin to pour it out in the very place we must. In the very place we are with Him. Father, we want to move Your heart. Stewards, you want to come and take the offering? I'm not sure whether to stop or keep going right now. I'll let you sit down for a minute, though. Your legs might be aching. You know, today is a significant day. As I was looking at preaching this morning, not this morning, before this morning, I didn't just start this morning, you'll be glad to know. It was exactly 1 year ago that we rededicated this house to the Lord. Exactly 1 year ago. And to me, it didn't leave my mind. So I was like, because that was a significant Sunday. But sometimes when you make these, we make these declarations and we have these moments. I believed at the time that we sensed the gravity of it, or I hope we did. But it's sometimes only in the days ahead when we look back that you recognize the significance of certain events. Sometimes we don't always recognize the significance of certain events, but we must always recognize when God asks us to do something. And so I was reminded this morning we're a year on, but what does that look like? What do we look like a year on? Because it's wonderful to give our hearts to God in that moment, amen? And we all do it, and we stand there. But you know, a lot of life has happened from that time to now, amen? There's a lot of living taking place. There's a lot of... many, many things have happened. Wars have taken place. Your lives have changed. My life has changed. So to come to this moment like we have, and we come back to the place of pouring it out once again, we come back to the very thing that we did 12 months ago. When Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the whole assembly of Israel and spread out his hands. Now he had made a bronze platform 5 cubits long, 5 cubits wide, and 3 cubits high. And he placed it in the center of the outer court. And he stood on the platform, and then he knelt down before the whole assembly of Israel and spread out his hands towards heaven. I love the imagery of a man who stood on a platform, but he's on his knees. If those of you who were there last week, I got on a chair. We bow down before his throne in our hearts, but we can stand upon the altar and let the fire of God consume us, because we're not afraid of that fire, because that fire is what cleanses, what purifies, what enables us, and what strengthens us. So the dedication last year was done publicly. There was a public declaration that we made before the Lord last year. God had put it in David's heart, but it took time and process to get to the point where Solomon finished the temple. And here Solomon stands on that platform. And he does it to bless and please the heart of God. He blessed the people, But that temple was not for the people. That temple was for him. And why? In Chronicles 6:18-20, I'm just repeating what we heard last year, bits of what we heard last year. But will God really dwell on with us humans? The heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain you. How much less this temple that I have built? Yet, Lord my God, give attention to your servant's prayer and his plea for mercy. Hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is praying in your presence. That's what we've been doing this morning. May our eyes be open toward this temple day and night, that this place which you said you would put your name there, may you hear the prayer your servants pray toward this place. The heavens cannot contain God. God does not live in heaven. Heaven lives in a dimension of God, because he's too big. How can he who created the heavens be subject to it? That is the greatness of our God. So he's not tied by this building. But this building doesn't matter. In 20 years' time, this building will not be stood. You could say in 5 minutes' time, the amount of leaks we've had. It's not about this building. It's about this heart here. This is where he dwells. This is where he puts his name. And God's name, when God's name is on a place, who God is, his authority, his power, his righteousness, his purposes, and his promises are found in that name. So you want his name. Because where his name is, all those things come. And he is drawn to any place where a genuine people are found who love him. It's what this morning, it's what our sacrifices of praise do. It's what our free will offering does. It brings action to the words that we speak. Words are cheap. The word of God is not cheap, but our words are often cheap. It's easy to say many things, amen? And then in later on it says, now my God, may your eyes be open, your ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. Now arise, Lord God, and come to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. May your priests, Lord God, be clothed with salvation. May your faithful people rejoice in your goodness. I love the fact that he talks about his faithful people rejoicing in his goodness 7 months before Pastor Tony began to bring the word about gratitude, about the attitude of gratitude. So even in our dedication, God was preparing us for that which he was bringing down the road. That by dedicating this place, we would enter into an understanding of what gratitude meant, and the power of gratitude in our worship, the power of gratitude in our prayer, the power of gratitude as a strength. The ark of his might is able to release you and I to go and do all that is in his heart. Now arise, Lord, and come to your resting place. Your heart must be his resting place. Your heart must be his resting place. Because in the resting place, it's what stirs him. Because when he can rest, as we said, you cannot build in a time of war, but when you're in a time of peace, you can build. God finds a place that his presence is welcome and can be established. God is always at peace, but when our hearts are a place of rest for him to come and dwell, he arises and can move from that point. That's the stirring of his heart. And may these words of mine, Solomon says, which I have prayed before the Lord, be near to the Lord our God, day and night, that he may uphold the cause of his servant and the cause of his people, the Dream Center, according to each day's need, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is no other. And may your hearts be fully committed to the Lord, to live by his decrees and obey his commands at this time. Solomon declared that the people must be fully committed and we must live by his decrees and commands. Last week, the last few weeks we've been speaking about there is a measure of word that is poured out and we must place a value on the measure of that word. And it is to the measure of that, the value we put on that measure, that we are able to be seen as those who are fully committed. Those whose cause becomes the Lord's. Not their own cause, but his cause. I'm just conscious I'm starting to... Are we all right for a few minutes? I don't know where I'm going to stop and where I'm going to start in a minute. I just know that right now we just got to keep going where we are. So I'm sorry for young ones. If the little ones need to go to exit stage right, that's fine. But I just feel that I don't know what God is, and I just know there's a lot more I've got to say than I feel we're going to need to say this morning. But you know, when we made that declaration last year, we didn't have the roadmap that we have now. We knew that there was, we dedicated our hearts for the purpose that the cause of the Lord would, he would come and hear our cries, but we didn't talk about what the cries were. We just knew that we needed to make sure that this was a house that when we cried, we gained the attention of heaven. Amen? But since that point, now there is a roadmap. Because now we know what we're contending for. Now we know that we are contending for something. Now we know that there is a cause in the house that has been given a defined language. So all of this was wonderful. Hear my prayers, hear my cries, come and meet us. But for what purpose? But there is a roadmap now. But if we lose the original, what we dedicated, then our prayers begin to become powerless. Because there aren't any hearts that can draw the presence of God. And this is in the song. We haven't sang it this morning. I got it out, but I knew we wouldn't sing it. I just knew we'd get it out. Because God, every time God tells me to get something out, he always changed it last minute. But in the We Will Be the Generation song, we all know that song. You sent forth your word to all the earth. The mysteries of heaven are ready to be heard. The word has been coming from heaven. The mysteries for this season are being revealed to us in this moment. Amen. And now the Spirit is longing for the sons and daughters of God to arise. But who will seek your kingdom? Who will seek all your truth to draw your holy presence and to stir the heart of you? I want to show you some scripture in this. When we think about King David, out of all the people I know how to worship, King David was the man. Amen? And even in this, in 2 Chronicles, where it talks about the dedications, the priests took up their positions, as did the Levites and the Lords, with the Lord's musical instruments, which King David made for the praising of the Lord. David fashioned instruments for the sole purpose of bringing worship to God. And that legacy was being outworked generation after generation. It wasn't just about let's sing songs and worship. David understood something that was... David understood the power of drawing the presence of God. And he knew there were different ways in which we had to do it. And even from a young boy, the famous scripture with Saul... In Samuel 16:23, whenever the Spirit came from God came on Saul, David would take up his lyre and play. Then relief would come to Saul. He would feel better and the evil spirit would leave him. David wasn't just a skilled musician. He was a man of the Spirit. He understood how to flow in the Spirit of God. And God is looking for a church of intelligent worshippers. We can't just be people who worship there is a different level when we worship, that the worship has an understanding of the flow of how the Spirit moves. There is an intelligence that we must have in our personal life. It's not just when you come to church on a Sunday, but that way, because David wasn't in church. He was a boy, 16, 17, however old he was, in the king's chamber with a king who was crazy enough to at some point start throwing spears at him. So you've got to know there's not just a case of I'll play my guitar. This man here is a much more skilled musician than I am. But that skill alone does not enable you to move environments, to understand what is required in any given environment. There is a spiritual intelligence. There is a spiritual know-how that is in. That's why this morning, some people, it's okay. Some people are like, we haven't sang a song. This is a bit different this morning. Because it takes a different from singing a song to sensing what the Spirit is doing. And being able to tap into the frequency of heaven in any given moment and know how to respond. Because in that response, in that frequency is what takes gets God's attention. But it doesn't just get his attention, it stirs him. It draws him. It first of all draws him. And from the position that he's drawn, he is then stirred. There's a difference. Let me give you Isaiah 51. Listen to me who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were cut and to the quarry from which you were hewn. And then in verse 4, listen to me, my people. Hear me, my nation. Instruction will go out from me. My justice will become a light to the nations. We've heard about his light over the last few weeks. And then skip to verse 15 and 16. For I am the Lord your God who stirs up the sea. So that its waves roar. The Lord Almighty is his name. I have put my words in your mouth and covered you with the shadow of my hand. I set the heavens in place, who laid the foundations of the earth, and who says to Zion, you are my people. Because there is something about the way they seek him that draws him. But out of the way they draw him, it creates a stirring, and the stirring of the Lord always brings an action point. So I'll give it to you like this. To the measure that we seek his kingdom and its righteousness becomes the measure that we draw from him, that we draw him. So to the measure that we seek him, that we pour out, that we enter into that frequency, becomes the measure that we can draw him. Because right now, all of a sudden, God's like, oh, that's my frequency. And now he's moved over. So you want, now, but now it's like, you know, you can draw someone. You know, although sometimes you're in, you're out and about in a shopping centre, and maybe you'll hear a kid scream or cry, or, and you turn over. But you don't go over to it. So you've been sort of, oh, what's over there? But that's not the same as being drawn right into it. There's a different measure of drawing. And sometimes in church, we begin to draw to a degree, to the point where God begins to notice us. But that's a difference between drawing his very presence close. I don't want God to be drawn from over there. We have to draw him to the measure that we worship him. And from this measure, from the measure we draw him, is the measure that we stir him. God is stirred by the heart of his people. The worship, first of all, comes, but when there is a deep, calls unto deep. This is not now just, you know, I'm singing my word. There is a deep that calls unto deep. And in that deep, it stirs the heart of God, because he now says, now, this is a people I can use. This is a people that stir me to rise up into action. He's been waiting. Heaven is waiting. Always. He wants to be stirred. But so often we stop at the drawing. We stop at the point where we draw him so that we feel nice. Too often church becomes a point where we draw him to the point where we feel nice. And it's just nice. But there's another place. There's another step. There's another depth in the Holy of Holies. That drawing comes and it bubbles up inside. But then God says, they're not just drawing me, now they're stirring me. And that's when we see heaven and earth start to become unified. That's when that which is in heaven is released onto the earth. That's when the word comes out of God's mouth. I have put my words in your mouth. Because he's stirred to speak. Because remember what Pastor Tony said, God can only speak to you to the measure that you can handle. So the more we draw him, and the more we're able to stir him, we show that our hearts are ready to receive the deep things of God. And in the deep things of God comes the power of God, comes the righteousness of God, comes the promises of God, comes all that comes with his name. It's a different level. By the measure, so the level of our intensity is that in the spirit is what determines the drawing. Now, intensity doesn't mean shouting. Often it does, and in my youth, I often come home with a sore throat because passion gets the better of me. But passion is not the same as intensity. Intensity in the spirit is something that goes deep within. It doesn't have to be loud, but it's deep. Amen? And by the measure that we stir his heart is the measure that is released from heaven and is seen and received by us. John 1 John, that which we have seen, that which we have heard, we proclaim. So when by the measure, once we've stirred God to the action, we don't just heaven is released in all manner of kinds. It is released in the word. It is released by his power. It's released by his healing. It's released by supernatural favor. It's released by supernatural miracles and wonders and insight. God wants us to see, not just hear. Faith comes by hearing. But how many times did Jesus do an act and we saw how the faith rose? They saw something. The disciples saw many things. And God in this season wants us to see many things. So that because, why? Because by the measure which we see and receive is the measure that we can declare and stand upon. Because when you can declare what you see, you've got a testimony. I have seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Not I've heard about it, I've seen it, I've encountered it. I've seen it in my sister, I've seen it in my brother, I've seen it when I laid hands on the pauper down the road, I've seen it when I released into the community and we see lives changed. I see it in my job, I see it in my family's health, I see it in all manner of things. It's not what we hear. Promises of God we know come, but so many times why we hear but then don't see is because there's a limit to the measure God wants to show us. Sometimes we have a moment where God comes and he releases a word to you. But how many right now have got words that have not yet quite come to fulfillment? Because I know I've had things that I've seen a measure of, but I've not seen it come to fulfillment. So there's obviously more. So there's something that has to happen to stir God to put me in a position where I can see that happen. Is this making sense? Jesus' ministry was established in two scriptures. John 5:19 and John 8:26. I only say what my Father tells me, what I see my Father say. I only do what my Father tells me to do. There was a portal of obedience that came between Christ and the earth, between Christ and heaven, where there is nothing that he places a barrier between what God wanted to say and do and what he would say and do. So that which I, he says in John 8:26, that which I hear that which God teaches me, I tell the world. That which God teaches me, I tell the world. Operating with, and this is where we come back to. You see, when the temple was made, it took 7 years to make Solomon's temple. It took 7 years. Now, right now, flip it. So we spoke about the temple being a place where it was being dedicated after it was finished. But at some point, that word came long before when it was given to David. There's going to be a temple, and it's going to be finished. So there's a journey to get from the temple, there's going to be a temple, to, hey, there's a temple. And I'm stood in it. And I'm looking at it. And all its furnishings and its intricacies are all now finished. There's a difference. There was a journey to take from that place to that place to that place. And one of the things I love about, you see, there's a journey from what God says to us and what God is doing with us and where we are going. So we have to live from the eternal position. So we live from the place of completion, even though on the earth we are on a journey. We have to live from the eternal perspective. If we cannot live from the eternal perspective, we lose what we are fighting for, we cannot stand, and we lose all perspective and sight. There is a position that requires obedience and spiritual intelligence that we have to this morning opened up. That God is simply trying to say, this is what I require from my people. This is what I need from you today, Dream Center. Because this is what will take what has been spoken in heaven and become a heavenly reality on the earth. Heavenly realities must become commonplace on the earth. But we have to live in the place where Christ is seated to see through, not see what our eyes see. I see a beautiful bunch of people, but I see empty chairs. I see works that have begun, but works that are in their infancy. But what I loved about, if you read what else Solomon did, what Solomon did is, here is the account of the forced labor King Solomon conscripted to build the Lord's temple, his own palace and the terraces, the wall of Jerusalem, the Hazor, the Megiddo, and the Giza. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, had attacked and captured Giza. He had set it on fire, killed its Canaanite inhabitants, and then gave it as a wedding gift to his daughter. They did some lovely things back in the day, didn't they? I'm going to kill an entire place and then give it to my wife as a present. Very strange. It says this, but Solomon rebuilt it. And then it talks about, and then he went and built Lower Beth Horon, Baalath, Tadmor in the desert, and wherever else. The difference is this. While the temple was being built, Solomon was still out there expanding his territory. While the temple was still being built, he was still pioneering new things. For those of you who don't know, chariots were a new thing to Israel. Solomon brought chariots into the Israelite army. That was like having a fighter plane when you're used to the Wright brothers' little whippy round thing. It changed warfare, which means there had to be some pioneering going on before anything was finished. We are in a place where this work has begun, but it's nowhere near finished. What we see is not what God sees. So we have to elevate ourselves to the environment that God is in to see where He is taking us. To value the measure of the word that's been given and to begin to outwork on the earth what we see in heaven. God said to Gideon, when he's like, what do I do? Go in the strength that you have. And this morning, there were two kinds of people. There were two kinds of people in this time. There were those who became the slave laborers. Now, these were people who were descendants. They were in the kingdom. They weren't Israelites, but they were in the kingdom. They heard everything. They saw everything. They knew what God was doing. But their hearts remained hard, and so they became slaves in the human sense. But there was another kind of people that were found. I just want to read it to you, and we're going to finish, because I'm aware that. I just want to show you this. I've barely said anything that I've wrote down. I'm really sorry. 1 Kings. Here we go. Okay. As for the foreigner who does not belong to your people Israel. This is 1 Kings 8:41. It says, as for the foreigner who does not belong to your people Israel, but has come from a distant land because of your name. For men will hear of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm. When he comes and prays toward the temple, then hear from heaven your dwelling place and do whatever the foreigner asks of you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as you do your own people Israel. So we've got foreigners who are slaves and were conscripted to forced labor. And there's a different kind of foreigner in the land of Israel who gained the same right under heaven that was given to the Israelites. That Solomon specifically mentioned the foreigner. Those who were not an Israelite, not from that land, but they came. Why? Because of his name. When we are in the season of God, if we do not take the measure which God is giving out to us, as we move on, we become a slave to that which we do listen to, rather than enter into what God is saying in the heavenlies. These people came, and I believe that what's going to happen, and I'm going to say this to you now, church attendance or length of service counts for nothing in the kingdom of God. But I believe people are going to come into this through these doors. As we've heard, that which we are lacking, God will bring those to resource that which we lack. Amen. And there are people that will be in this house for 5 minutes in comparison to you. But God will listen to every prayer that comes out of their mouth. Whereas you will go, why do I feel like I'm treading water all the time? Why do I feel like I'm in a dry place? It's because of the way in which we move in the Spirit. I feel there's a very specific definition that God is bringing to the house. So church, but God is saying, everyone has access to this dimension of the Spirit. Everyone has the ability for a pathway between heaven and earth to your life. It just takes a life who's willing to pour it out again and again and again. Amen. And we talked about fulfilling potential. The last thing I'll mention. Did Pastor not talk about potential last week? Fulfilling your God-given potential. You see, Solomon gave his people Israel, the people who took hold of that which God was saying, the people who valued the measure given out to them. What role did they have? Were they there back-breaking labor while the temple was being built for 7 years? I think you'll find they weren't. But Solomon did not make slaves of any of the Israelites, for they were his fighting men, his government officials, his officers, his captains, and the commanders of his chariots and charioteers. They were also the chief officials in charge of Solomon's projects and supervising the work that was being done. There is a position that we are given, and there is a fulfillment that can come when we position ourselves under the Spirit and under the word that is being released to us. Charioteers and chariots were something new. So some of you are going to be pioneers. Some of you are going to be government officials. Some of you are going to be people who govern and oversee in the spirit as well as in the flesh. Now I'm going to say this. Now this is Paul speaking. So I can't say this is the Lord. But you know, to see your potential fulfilled, you've got to know what your grace is. The grace of God upon your life is the key to outworking what God is trying to work in. You want to know how to fulfill your potential? Understand your grace. Understand the grace that is upon your life. Because when you understand the grace that is upon your life, then you know what makes room for you. And in Solomon's, something, this great, grand, wonderful 20-year project, because the palace took 13 years. In the 20 years, there were many different roles assigned for the people who were God's people, which caused all different kinds of skills, all different kinds of needs, all different kinds of expertise. But here's the thing. When you recognize your grace, step one. But you must understand the measure of that grace that God has released to you. But the first thing you must understand is that my grace must align itself with the corporate destiny. What did God say? What did we hear last week? God strengthens his church first. Why? He's coming back for his church. So therefore, each of us, Ephesians 2, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ himself as the cornerstone, chief cornerstone. But here, in him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. That's you and me. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. If you try to outwork your grace outside of the corporate destiny, you will remain frustrated, because there is no context and there is no alignment to what God has given to you. So much of find out what your grace is and start working. Some of you, you'll go, my grace might be in the marketplace. Your grace might be in the marketplace. Not every role is in church. Not everyone is called to preach in this way. Not everyone is called to be a musician. These are just ministry of helps. But we are all called to use that which we have been given for the purposes of God. But if we cannot understand the measure of the corporate destiny that has been laid before us and that which God is calling us to, then that which you have will never find its true home. It might not look how you think it will, but we must become people that say, I surrender. When I surrender and pour out my oil, I surrender my gifts, my skill, my time, my resource, whatever it is that is required of us, so that which God has put a measure inside of you may A, be seen, because the light of God is now upon you, because you've stirred his heart. So a measure of what he has for you can be revealed to you privately. And then out of that, we bring it here and we surrender it in the temple, the place where God corporately brings us together. Because I believe that although there are people that will come into this house to resource what we lack, there is already some resources in this house that are not being utilized that will strengthen what we already don't have. But it comes down to you recognizing what you have and then being willing to release it and give it. There are works that have begun in this house, they're only in their infancy. But I believe they can also get stronger with the people we already have. And I believe what God is asking us to do now is saying, if we have a portal of obedience, we have an intelligently spiritual body of people, we will know what we have and we will recognize what we don't have. Because I will recognize the grace in you as much as I recognize my own grace. So we become a unit of people that cannot be move to the left or the right. that cannot be swayed from this purpose and path that we're on. You ready? You ready? God's been telling me about you all for the last 2 weeks. It's time for you to start giving up what you've got. It's time to start bringing to the table what you all know you carry. And I believe there's others of you in this house, you know you carry something. But for whatever reason, either afraid or nervous or whatever, you've held it back. But I just want to say one thing, and it's something that is the reason why I started this whole sermon. When Pastor was talking last week, this scripture about the foreigner came to me. What I love about this house is that it's a multicultural house. Right? And that there are places that Pharaoh has destroyed that we are going to rebuild. But here's the thing. Now, I haven't spoke to every one of you individually. But if you are a person that's not from this nation originally, or you're a person of color, there is a difference between what God says about you and what society might say about you. There are barriers that are not in heaven, but might be out there. Now, we might be a people. You might be a person who has overcome that in your spirit, and you know that there is nothing that can separate me from the love of God. There is nothing that can stop me from fulfilling God's purpose. But there are people out there that don't know that. There are people there that are living with the limitations that society is putting on them. And I believe that it's this thing that God specifically talks about. It doesn't matter where you're from. If you come because of his name. Because if you come because of his name, then when you come and pray towards the temple, then hear from heaven. Heaven will hear you. Heaven will respond to you. The power of God will be in you, amongst you, and will flow through you. This house has to be a place where there is no barrier. You see, in this place, there was a wall that the priest could not go through. When Solomon had finished praying, the fire of God came down because his presence was there. But the priest had to stand on the outside. But we no longer have the wall of hostility because Jesus broke it on the cross. So now we are in the holies of holies. So we don't have to watch from afar. None of us do. So in this place, this needs to be a house where the Spirit of the Lord is. There is freedom for all. Amen. And I will say to every one of you, if there is any one of you this morning that feels that you have been hindered in this house, subconsciously, silently, not that someone's told you, but you feel maybe I don't have a place to ask. Maybe I don't have the confidence to step forward. God is saying, I break that now in the name of Jesus. That is a lie, and it stops right today. This is a house that is a kingdom house. So everyone who walks through those doors is a son or daughter of the living God. So come on, let's just stand to our feet. Thank you guys for my wanderings this morning. Taking part. We are no longer foreigners, but we are fellow citizens with God's people. Father God, we thank you for the temple. We thank you for your presence this morning. We thank you that it's come so strong and powerfully. We thank you that we have been able to pour out the oil of our hearts to you, a fragrance offering to you. And Lord, we say as we dedicated ourselves last year, Lord, we remind you again, we are still here for your glory. We're still here to please your heart. Lord, that which you're speaking from heaven, we are hearing. Lord, open our eyes. We open our eyes afresh, but Lord, open our eyes so that the scent of water becomes a flowing stream flowing through our hearts. Lord, we take the measure that you are giving us seriously. And Lord, we say, let a portal of obedience be established between every heart and heaven right now. Open your hearts and say, Lord, forgive me for the blockages that I've put. Forgive me when I've not lived from the place of eternity. But from today, let my eyes be fixed on heaven. Let my eyes be fixed in the eternal. So that which you see and you have said, I see. And I live from that place. Father, give us a people that know how to flow like the spirit of David. That we are not just people who worship, but let worshippers of spirit and truth arise in this place. Let the worshippers you seek arise in this house. Sons and daughters that you are seeking. Father God, right now, I pray a blessing on everyone in this house. Lord, open our eyes to the dimensions of your spirit, that we may walk step by step with you in the spirit, that we may understand how to move in the heavenlies. We may know how to, Father, I pray right now, let eyes open to see how the river flows. Open the eyes of those hearts who are willing this morning to see how your river flows, that we may have worshippers that no matter what environment we go to, we know how to transform the environment. That's evil spirits, when we are in the room, we know how to make them leave. Jesus, come on, ask you, say, Lord, open my eyes afresh this morning. Open my eyes afresh. Lord, I pray that this house, that everyone in this house would know the grace of God upon their lives. And that you would establish the grace in their life. So that we may know how to add our strength to the house of God, to the purpose and the work of the Father. That we do not waste our days. You know, the song says that I waste my days on you. But God says, waste your days on me. Don't waste your days in the wilderness trying to work it out on your own. Waste them in me. Waste them in the heavens. Because it's not a waste. It's the most valuable time you can spend in my presence. Oh, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, right now, we reconsecrate ourselves to you. And we pour it out once again. Pour out our hearts. Because I just want to move your heart. It's all I want to do, right here in your presence, God. I pour my love on you, no matter how much the cost. I freely give it all to you. All to you.
Sing that again. That was one.
I just want to move your heart. It's all I want to do. I just want to stand in awe and pour my love on you, no matter how much the cost. I freely give it all to you. All to you. And I just wanna move your get caught within your gaze, right here in your presence, God. It's where I wanna stay, oh, just as well in your house. Waste my hours and my days on you, oh, on you. Is it a fragrance when I pour my oil out? Is it a life laid down when here I give my vows? Is it a song I sing? Here's every melody. Just tell me what moves you. Just tell me what moves it again. Is it a fragrance? Oh, is it a fragrance? And I'll pour my oil out. Is it a life laid down? Then here I give my vow. Is it a song I sing? Is every melody? Just tell me what moves you. Tell me what moves you. I just want to move your heart. It's That's all I want to do. Right here, want to stand here. And pour my love on you, no matter how much the cost. I freely give it all to you. I just want to move your heart. It's all I want to do. I just want to stand in awe and pour my love on you, no matter how much the cost. I freely give it all to you. Father, we stand as one body this morning. That we who are being built together to become a dwelling for your Spirit. That we whose house is built on Christ, the chief cornerstone. We surrender our lives to you again. Father, show us what moves you. Tell us what moves you. That we stir your heart. That we draw your presence so close. That we stir you to release in heaven on earth. That we might receive and proclaim all that you are doing and all that you will do. In Jesus' name. All God's people said, let's give the Lord a standing ovation for a moment.